Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by Gold Boys. Coming up on the show today, Ian McMillan of BetSide will join us. We will get all of his thoughts, NCAA tournament picks, against the spread, sleepers, Final Four, champion. We will get it all from Ian. So excited to talk to him and excited just in general. This is 24 hours now away from the best day of the year. By the time you're listening to this, maybe less, might be the Thursday of the NCAA tournament. And I still consider Thursday 12:15 Eastern. That's the start of the tournament. Forget the first four, forget the play and all that stuff. Those are playing games. This is the tournament. Starts at Thursday and I'm excited for it. So I'll get into all my picks here. Some of these lines have moved, but I know people think because I picked Florida Atlantic last year to make the Final Four, that I'm going to pull another one out of my hat. I do have a sleeper pick. That's when you pick a 40-1 shot like Florida Atlantic, that's not something you're going to duplicate every year. So I don't expect to duplicate that, but I'm going to try. Just first off, a couple that jump out to me in terms of the spread. I really like Houston. I think coming in off a bad move, a terrible performance against Iowa State in the Big 12 title game, they will get a Longwood team that they will absolutely maul. So Houston laying the points up to 24 in a lot of spots, open 22. So I understand that movement. That line was a little short. Even a Longwood team total under of 51.5. I think there's a 52 out there. I mean, to me, Longwood is going to be in the 40s. I wouldn't even be shocked if they're, in like the late 30s, late, and who knows, late garbage time, maybe you string some points together. But to me, Longwood team total under and Houston laying the points are good bets. I think Morehead State, I talked about this on this pod Monday. I think Morehead State hangs around against Illinois. They play slow. They have good guard play. Illinois is coming off a conference tourney title. I like fading those teams. The three games in 3 days, there's a rest advantage here with Morehead State. And Illinois doesn't get any stops. So Morehead is a team as a 14. And usually, like, it's become a pretty regular thing here, an annual thing where a 14, 15, or a 16 wins. I mean, usually it was all a 12 beats a 5. That's not even an upset anymore. Now it's really like a 14 and lower, 13 and lower is what's a real upset. I would say 14 or lower. So Morehead hanging around in this game and making competitive would not shock me. So I do like Morehead plus the points. So those are the ones that jump out to me. I would expect UConn and Stetson. I mean, 26.5 is a lot. I would stay away. UConn's got a long path ahead of them here, where they got a tough bracket and they really got a tough bracket. So I don't know. Does Hurley pull his guys early and, Stetson gets the back door? That's the one I'm not very confident in terms of the other one seeds. I do think Purdue will be ultra motivated when that line comes out. Those are some of the ones that jumped out to me. As far as my Final Four, I am going to go with UConn, which is chalk. I'm going to go with Creighton to come out of that bracket. I don't like Houston long-term. I just think they have too many dry spells offensively. I think they're too reliant on the refs where you can call a foul or not call a foul on every play. They're so aggressive. They're so handsy. And I just don't trust that offense. So I am going to take Creighton. I'm going to take UConn. I wanted to take Florida. I think that the big guy being out there, center breaking his leg, and that was a gruesome injury on Sunday in the SEC title game. They're such an offensive rebounding oriented team where he's a big part of that. And if he's not going to play, not if he's not going to play, he broke his leg, he's not playing. That, I think, hurts Florida's ability to make a run here. I like the guard play. I like the coach. I wanted to pick them, but I'm going to go with Kentucky and just hold my breath that the NBA talent takes over. And they've got like 6 or 7 NBA guys. So them getting to a Final Four is going to be my third pick. And this is the sleeper. The West is the region where you can see some craziness happen. UNC is not a one seed, even though they are a one seed. They're 9th in KenPom. They are not deserving of a one. So I've seen some people pick St. Mary's, Baylor. There's some crazy picks out there. I think Mississippi State, if they can get by Michigan State, and look, they might be out. They might be the first team out of this tournament. They're the first game, noon Eastern against Michigan State that Thursday afternoon. So they could be knocked out early. But if they get by Michigan State, it reminds me of Florida Atlantic Memphis last year, where the winner of that game was very alive. And we saw what Florida Atlantic went on to do after they won a coin flip game. We're lucky to get by Memphis, but they did. I like this Mississippi State team. They're long, they're athletic, they play really good defense. Jans is a good coach. He won at New Mexico State. He was a tournament mainstay there. He's come to Mississippi State, and they're not great on offense. They're not great shooting, but if they can just get up from, I think they're 32% from three, if they can just get on a streak where they string a few games together and they could shoot 36, 37% from three, which is like an extra three or so a game. It's not crazy, an extra three or two. They can bother Carolina. They can make that life hard on Carolina. If you can beat Carolina, which I think they can, I think, like I said, UNC is a very soft one seed, then the bracket really opens up. So Mississippi State coming out of the West as my sleeper here. So UConn, Creighton, Mississippi State, and Kentucky. And I have UConn versus Creighton for the third time this season. And UConn going back to back. I feel like everyone's picking them. I understand. And I don't think there's great value. I mean, I saw this number move. It was plus 450 last week, and it was 4-1. Then the brackets come out and it's down to like plus 380. It's under 400 in some spots. I don't know why that would number move. That number would move after the bracket. Like, you see the bracket, like, got a tough draw and the number moves the other way. That I don't get, but I do think they're good enough to overcome this draw. They are playing close to home, which balances out some of the tough draw. You're going to get to play in Brooklyn and Boston, and you're not going to have to get up on a plane until you go to Arizona for the Final Four. So they can just win in so many different ways. They have size, they have shooting, they got a good coach, they're deep. They're a great team. They really are a monster team. I trust them more than anybody. They have these runs where they can just, you know, they can be down seven and go to from being down seven to up eight in the blink of an eye. They are just so explosive. So look, I know the format works against them. It's one and done, but I think they survive. And look, they'll probably have a close call along the way last year, what they did where they just buried everybody. That usually doesn't happen. But I think UConn over Creighton in a final is where I'm going to go. All Big East final. So two SEC teams, two Big East teams. I think it's wide open after UConn. I think wouldn't be shocked if some of these bigger teams get knocked off early. You can't trust the Purdues and the Tennessees. We saw Houston have a horrible performance in their conference tournament. So should be a lot of fun. It's here. Next, we will talk to Ian McMillan. We'll get his thoughts. That is next. This is the Should A Bet More podcast. All right. We are back. Should A Bet More podcast. And he is back. You can hear him on BetSided, the Bacon Bets podcast. Talk a little March Madness. Ian McMillan. Ian, the best time of the year. What's going on, man?
It truly is the best time of the year. There are a lot of sporting events we watch and bet on. I don't think anything is better, not only just March Madness, but specifically the first 4 days of March Madness is, in my opinion, the best 4 days on the sports betting calendar. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've come around to, I've always felt that way too. I've been doing a lot of live betting the past couple of years, and conference tournament, just the abundance of games, just the number of games, to me makes it at least a close call between the conference tournament and March Madness. Because like March Madness, that first Thursday, you get a lot of games. It's the best. It was always my favorite day of the year, but still you get like 16 games. There are days, I think last Thursday conference tournament week, I don't know, 70, 80 games. It's just, it's incredible. It's, if you love college basketball and you have nothing else to do, 11:30 in the morning till like 2-3 in the morning, some of these days it's just wall to wall hoop. So the quantity is better in conference, but the quality I think is better in March in the big tournaments.
Yeah, I will say the Players Championship, the golf tournament, takes a little bit of my attention during conference championship week, so I'm not as locked in. Whereas, I mean, this week's golf tournament, the Valspar Championship, I'll have a couple outright bets and then just forget about it because I'll be so locked in on March Madness. So I will say that the Players does take away my attention a little bit during conference championship week, but yeah, I won't argue with you there.
All right, let's, before we get to your picks, everyone has gripes with the committee. It's easy to pick on the committee, but it doesn't mean those gripes are incorrect. What was your biggest takeaway or two? What were your complaints here with the committee, if any?
Yeah, I think there's two ways you can look at it. You can either look at how many seeds they gave the ACC, which I think was ridiculous. I thought the ACC was extremely weak this year. The ACC getting, what, 5 bids and Big East only getting 3. I think that's one way you can look at it. I think probably the one that holds a little bit more merit is the seeding that they did. I think that was the worst job I've seen in my history of watching college basketball, of the seeding in the tournament. Just some teams that just don't make sense in their spots. Clemson is a 6 seed. I don't get that. There's a handful of other ones too. And then you put like Iowa, like in my opinion, heading into this, there's two teams outside of the 1 seeds that I was looking at winning this whole thing. It was Iowa State and Auburn, and they are now in the same region as the number 1 overall seed in UConn. That just does not make any sense to me either. So, the worst job in my history of watching the tournament in terms of the selection committee, not only with the teams they chose in the tournament as a whole, but also how they seeded these teams. It's just not good this year. Not good. But then I'll say that once the ball tips off, I'll probably forget about all that.
Oh, sure. Once these games are like you said, once the games start, we have lines to handicap. We've got games to watch. We got games to bet. It's there's bigger problems in the world than you think back to 4 years ago. We had no games at all. I mean, look, it's all, you got to keep it in perspective, but still they did a terrible job. I mean, Duquesne is an 11. That's one that's going to fly under the radar because once people look past the first few seeds, nobody cares. 11, 12, 13, all kind of blends in. Like, Duquesne on the 11 line with New Mexico on the 11 line, like New Mexico is in the 20s for KenPom and Duquesne's in the 80s. Not that KenPom is perfect, but my goodness, that was very strange. And leaving St. John's out of the tournament, putting Virginia in. I don't know what they do on these Saturdays and Sundays. It's almost like, hey, we're just going to make our bracket, and we're going to slide in whoever these last few teams, and they just take Sunday off.
Yeah, that definitely is how they felt like with Duquesne. They were just like, well, Duquesne actually ended up winning this tournament. We already had the 8-10 winner going in that 11 spot, so I guess we'll just put Duquesne in there in that 11 spot. So, crazy. Not great.
What is your favorite bet, favorite couple of bets?
To win, or are you talking about like first
round? We'll go point spread for now.
I think my favorite bet, looking at the first round, is probably going to be TCU to beat Utah State. That's a 9-8 matchup. I think it's a terrible stylistic matchup for Utah State. Utah State struggles on the interior in terms of their defense, and that's exactly where TCU can hurt you. They take a lot of 2-point shots. That's where they're the most effective. And also, let's not forget, there is a narrative about the Mountain West that has been going on here for a couple of years, and then people forgot about it last year because San Diego State went all the way to the final. But for the 2, 3, 4 years leading up to that, throughout the regular season, everyone would say, oh, watch out for the Mountain West. The Mountain West, in my opinion, has kind of turned into like this hipster conference where everyone during the regular season, like, you only know college basketball if you talk about how good the Mountain West is. And then outside of San Diego State last year, they blow it in the tournament every single year. I think it was 2 years ago. I think every single Mountain West team was out within like the first 16 hours of the tournament or some crazy stat like that. So I'm not going to let San Diego State's title run last year kind of dissuade me from fading the Mountain West, because in years past, that was kind of the smart move to do in the opening round. So that is another one of the reasons why I'll be going against Utah State. I love TCU in that matchup. I just think it's a good matchup for them.
All right. And anything else come to mind? Anything else you bet?
Yes. Just give me 1 second here. What other bets do I got? Texas Tech. I'm very high on Texas Tech in general. They're going up against NC State. NC State obviously went on that miracle run in the ACC tournament. Kudos to them for making it to the NCAA tournament, but I think they're overmatched. We got a team that really did not perform well until the tournament in a weak conference in the ACC against Texas Tech, who played, in my opinion, the best conference in the Big 12. Now, Texas Tech doesn't do anything fantastic. They aren't great at anything, but they are kind of solid all around. They can shoot the ball. They can play defense. So I like Texas Tech as well to cover the number against NC State in that 6-11 game.
March Madness is about upsets. Everyone wants to pick them. Everyone wants to root for them, unless they hurt your bracket or they hurt your futures. What's like the one? Do you have one? I guess I don't even count 12s anymore. I guess 13, 14, 15. And if you want to go a 16, go for it. Anything I would say 13 or below that you think has a chance to win.
Yeah, the seed I'm looking at is a 14 seed to upset a 3 seed. It is a team, the 3 seed is a team a lot of people like to go deep. I do not like this team whatsoever. It is Creighton. I'll be taking Akron to beat Creighton in the first round. Creighton, don't get me wrong, they can shoot the lights out. They also have a great shooting defense. But Creighton has some holes that is going to cost them in this tournament. Now, maybe it doesn't happen in the first round, but it certainly could. And those holes are, they are dead last in the country of all Division I college basketball teams, dead last in forcing turnovers. They can't force turnovers to save their lives. They can't grab offensive rebounds. And as a result, when you look at their extra scoring chances per game, it's at -4. Now, they've won a lot of their games just because they're such a good shooting team and their shooting defense is so good that as long as they have a good shooting game and the team they're playing against doesn't get hot with their shooting, then they end up winning games anyways. But if they have like even a B- shooting game, they're going to get in trouble because they're giving up possessions and not creating any extra possessions themselves. Now you look at Akron, what is their biggest strength defensively? It's defending the three. I think they're top 10 in opponent 3-point field goal percentage. What does Creighton do? They shoot the three ball. So I think it's a great stylistic matchup for Akron. And I think just based on how Creighton doesn't force turnovers, once again, dead last, not dead last in just major conferences, dead last in every single college basketball team in Division I and forcing turnovers, that's going to kill a team sometimes in March Madness. And it will happen to Creighton at some point. Maybe they get past Akron, but it's going to happen soon, within probably the first weekend, I think. But I will take Akron. I'll take them to pull off that upset.
So did you just put them in your brackets? Did you take the 12.5? Did you take the money line or all of the above?
I definitely took them in my bracket for sure, because as we all know, we have to take some upsets in the bracket. You can't just take the higher seed every single time. I do plan on taking their spread for sure. I'll probably sprinkle on their money line as well.
I would think with a 14, we'd be getting a little bit more bang for your buck. I'm looking at DraftKings 6-1, FanDuel plus 640. I mean, again, look, if you're cashing a plus 640, you're very happy about it. But you just think like a 14 CI, maybe I'm getting 8-1 double digits. Feels like they do short pay you a little bit with these super long shots.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, actually, when I was looking at them, that in terms of just straight up money line odds, not as long as I could have that I would have expected for some of these like 3-14, 2-15 kind of matchups.
Yeah, I mean, the books, they're not they're not stupid. They know we're going to they know we want to bet upsets. They know upsets happen. So they're going to shrink you in almost. I mean, the straddle's so big they could not dare you to bet the favorite on the money line where they can just make the line whatever and, you know, dare you to take it or whatever. Anything else in terms of upsets or just that one?
That's the big one. That's the big one that I'm definitely going to bet in terms of betting like a money line upset first round. Now, of course, there are some other upsets that I have in my bracket. I kind of like Morehead State over Illinois, to be completely honest. Another 14-3. Am I going to bet Morehead State money line? Probably not. I'll probably take their points. I do have Morehead State in my bracket. Like I said, you got to be a little bit more aggressive when it comes to filling out a bracket. And then there's kind of the one that everyone's going to talk about, the classic 12-5, James Madison over Wisconsin. I think it's actually the only 12-5 I really like in the first round. But, I mean, what are they, only like 5-point underdogs or something? So actually not a huge underdog when it comes to the betting odds, but that would be an upset I'd be looking at in the first round too.
Yeah, I get the sense there's going to be a few of these that are trendy. You mentioned James Madison. That was going to be trendy. McNeese, Gonzaga. McNeese is hard to gauge because the record is so great. I think 30-3, something like that. But they didn't really play anybody out of conference, so it's hard to get. I mean, they did play VCU. They did play Michigan. So they have a decent, but a lot of their wins are just really bottom of the barrel. So I don't know if you have a take on that game.
I actually think Gonzaga is kind of a sneaky team in this tournament.
Okay.
Because they don't have that big name guy that they've had the past number of years. But when you look at their metrics and their stats, still very, very good. Now, obviously, still playing in the West Coast Conference. They're not top-of-the-line competition, but I think everyone's kind of forgetting about Gonzaga. I'm not saying that their team is as good as they have been the past few years, but I certainly think they're good enough to not get upset by McNeese in the opening round.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else is sort of trendy here in terms of the upsets, which you never want to be on the one. Like the thing that makes it an upset, like last year, Arizona losing to Princeton or Purdue losing to Fairleigh Dickinson, it's the fact that nobody sees it coming. When everyone's kind of predicting it, you obviously you have your antenna off. I'm just trying to think of what else here is kind of trendy.
Well, here's what I'll say, what I found kind of happened, and I'm interested in your take. Maybe you agree with me or not, but I found that this year there was more of the mid-major teams that I was excited about that could have been a first-round upset choked in their conference tournament. Like I was looking at Indiana State, obviously. Now UC Irvine, I claim is my team, even though I never went to the school, not even a West Coast guy, but UC Irvine, I thought could have been an interesting upset candidate in the first round. They got upset by Long Beach State, who stinks. There is a lot of these mid-major small conference winners are all bad teams. Like there's not many that I look at that I'm like, ooh, that team could be interesting. Long Beach State stinks. St. Peter's stinks. Another popular one, though, that I will bring up, I don't like it, but it is a trendy one, is Samford.
I was just going to mention that one.
Over Kansas. That is kind of the other popular one. I'm not buying into that. I think Kansas is a little bit underrated. I think people are Kansas has not played well recently, and they have some injury issues, but now I think people have kind of flipped and the value's now kind of gone back on Kansas.
Yeah, if you could tell me right now Kansas is healthy, I would lay it, because Samford doesn't check the boxes for an underdog. You want an underdog that plays slow, plays good defense. Samford wants to run, and when you're the smaller school and you don't want to run against Kansas, if you're Samford, you don't have the athletes Kansas has, so you're not going to want to run. You want to limit possessions, not play fast. You want to muck it up. So I agree. I would not be as enthused on Samford, but if you're going to tell me, hey, these guys for Kansas, McCullers and Dickinson are healthy, then you know what, that changes it, and maybe they're vulnerable because Kansas is a thin team. So that's an interesting one. Charleston Bama is another one too. Charleston is down to 9.5. There's just so much variance. Bama shoots a million threes. Charleston shoots a million threes. Bama can't guard. I mean, that's another one. It's just, it's high variance. Bama could win by 20. I wouldn't be shocked. Charleston could win. I wouldn't be shocked. Bama's one of these teams where it's just a lot of varying results wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, those teams that rely on shooting the three ball is tough, because to win the NCAA tournament, how many games in a row? Is it six games you have to win in a row? Yeah. You have one cold game shooting threes and that's it. You're gone. So that's, I mean, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think in recent history, like a 3-point shooting team has gone on and won. Like a team that, and I'm not talking, like obviously teams can shoot the three, but like teams like Alabama, teams like Creighton, who are like top 10 in the country and 3-point shot rate, they just have that one game where they just can't hit a shot and they're done.
How about Yale? Can Yale hang with Auburn?
No, I don't think so. I love Auburn in this tournament, which I'm sure we'll talk about if we talk about my Final Four here. Princeton, and this is another example, like Princeton make it to the tournament. Yeah, I Princeton would have been an interesting upset candidate in the first round. Yale, while I do think Yale was the second best team in the Ivy League, I really think Princeton was the only team in that conference that could have made noise, especially against an underseeded Auburn team. Auburn's a lot better than a four seed.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was criminal. How Auburn and Kansas were the same seed line was ridiculous. I think it's almost a little karma for Yale. They were incredibly lucky to win down six with 23 seconds left. Not only win, but win in regulation. But you remember last year, Yale was the one and they had to play the title game of the Ivy in Princeton. So maybe this year Princeton deserved it, but last year probably Yale deserved it. It was not fair as the one seed to have to play on the road there. You alluded to it, your Final Four. If you want to give us your Final Four, your Elite Eight, take it whatever direction you want to go. Let's hear it.
Yeah, let's do it. Now, I will say, you can't hold me to this. I do like to tinker with my bracket. I'm sure by the time the games tip off, I will tinker with it a little bit, but I did go through and I filled it out all last night. I have 0-1 seeds in my Final Four.
Oh.
So Elite Eight, I got Auburn against Iowa State. I talked about it earlier, two teams I absolutely love, play great defense, playing great basketball heading into this tournament. Auburn obviously have been UConn. So in the Elite Eight, I got Auburn over Iowa State. In the East region, in the West region, I have Arizona over Alabama. Arizona, not a team we talked about, but I think if every team played their A-plus game every single night, Arizona is the best team in the country. The issue is they don't play their A-plus game every single night. But if they can in this tournament for however many games it lasts, I don't think anybody can beat them. So I have Arizona beating Alabama in the West region for the Elite Eight. I got Tennessee beating Gonzaga in the Midwest. Like I said, I think Gonzaga is going to be a little bit of a sneaky candidate. I got them going to the Elite Eight, but losing to Tennessee. And I have Texas Tech as a six seed beating Houston in the Elite Eight in the South. I don't know why I love Texas Tech. I just think they're a team that is good everywhere, not bad anywhere. And a team like that, if they just happen to play their best basketball, they can go on a little bit of a run. Final four. So my Final Four is Auburn, Arizona, Texas Tech, and Tennessee. Two seeds, a four seed, and a six seed. I have Auburn and Texas Tech in the final. Now, I might switch that out and put Tennessee in the final, but right now I have Auburn against Texas Tech, a four against a six. Now I have Auburn winning the national championship. I honestly think Auburn might be, obviously, if I'm picking them to win, the best team in the country in terms of if you look at what they do well, they're good on both sides of the court. They don't really have any glaring weakness. They're a well-coached team, in my opinion. So I like Auburn playing obviously really good basketball lately. I'll take Auburn to win it all.
Wow. And, I mean, we kind of talked about it. I think you alluded to it. UConn really had a tough break in this bracket. And you could say, hey, they're playing close to home. They're get to play in Brooklyn and then Boston. So it's only fair that they have a tougher bracket. I don't agree with that. I think, you know what, put them in a neutral and give them a fair bracket. They really loaded this bracket. I mean, just look at the odds. Auburn's the sixth favorite to win this thing, and they're a four seed, and they're in the same bracket as UConn. So, I mean, the odds certainly don't think this is a fair bracket whatsoever. Is 16-1 enough for you, or is it just better off going money line and rolling it over? Is 16-1 bettable? I'm looking at DraftKings, probably could shop, maybe get a better number, but I don't know.
I took Auburn last week at 22-1. Okay. So I'm probably just going to hold on to that. The move might be just to roll it over, because especially if they end up facing Auburn UConn in the Sweet 16, you're going to get plus money.
What's that line look like on a neutral court? It's not quite neutral, but you get the idea.
UConn 3.5, 4.5 right now, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say 4.5, 5, maybe. I do think there's going to be a lot of sentiment for UConn, defending national champ, Big East champ. I think UConn's becoming more and more public just because they're the best team. I don't know. There's some name recognition there. I would say 4.5, 5, but yeah, we're in the same sort of ballpark.
Yeah, I think UConn's the best team, but like, I just don't think any team, there's not a one seed this year that I think is, you know, head and shoulders above the rest. UConn can get beat. If they don't bring their A-plus game and the team they're playing against brings their A-plus game, they can lose. And I think Auburn's a tough matchup for them. So I do have them losing to Auburn there.
Was there any team, any bracket that you didn't mention? Like, oh man, I really want to pick this team. I can't quite get myself to it. For me, it was Florida. I went back and forth between Florida and Kentucky, just losing the center. They're such a offensive rebounding team. That's such a big part of their strength. I like their guards. I like their coach. Just losing that center pushed it over the edge for me. I was like, I can't pick them even though I wanted to. Did you have a team like that?
Just because of the region they're in, Iowa State, I really thought I was set on putting Iowa State in my Final Four, but I mean, if they get to the Elite Eight, I mean, it's got to be either Auburn or UConn that they're going to have to play against. I just don't think it's a great matchup for them. So yeah, I would say Iowa State, but I don't know how Iowa State was the eighth ranked team by the committee, considering they beat Houston not once, twice this season, and Houston's supposed to be this powerhouse. So yeah, I really wish I could get Iowa State. Like, if Iowa State was in like the Midwest region, I wouldn't even hesitate to take them and put them in the Final Four. So, yeah, that's why I have them in the Elite Eight against Auburn, but I got to give Auburn the slight edge. So Iowa State, unfortunately, is not going to be my Final Four.
All right, Ian, I'll let you go, but I'm a Vikings fan. You're a Falcons fan. You have Kirk Cousins in your life. Are you excited? Are you nervous? How many wins for the Falcons next year?
I'm going to say 11 Ooh. Wins for the Falcons, but they're going to win the games when it matters most, and it's going to be they're going to play in the Super Bowl and lose in the Super Bowl.
Wow. So you're giving yourself you sound like a Falcons fan where you have the hope, but you know it's going to end in heartbreak at some point.
Yeah, Falcons fan, Maple Leafs fan, Blue Jays fan. Yeah, it's going to end in heartbreak at some point. I'm hoping and praying that Kirk Cousins to the Falcons is what Matt Stafford was to the Rams, a guy who never really had success in the playoffs throughout his career, is at the back end of his career, goes to a new team that has some offensive weapons and can take him on a deep playoff run. That's what I'm telling myself.
My only issue with that is I said the same thing when the Vikings got him in 2017 into 18, like, they're coming off a 13-3 season where they were a 4-point favorite in the NFC title game, and Cousins was supposed to be the slight upgrade where it's like, all right, now this is a Super Bowl team. It's 6 years later. It's one playoff win. And can he take a little less money, like leave a little money for the rest of the guys? How much money do you need? I get it. These guys don't think like that, but I don't know. But did you play any futures on him?
Not on Kirk. I did the week before the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins became official. I bet on the Falcons to win the Super Bowl at 50-1 because I was very confident. I was very confident they were going to sign Kirk. And I was like, when they announced this next week, that these odds are going to get cut in almost in half. Yep. And that's basically what they are now. They're like 25-1, 30-1. So,
which is not bettable, but in that division at 50-1, I mean, you got weapons, you got, you know, the NFC. I mean, I don't know, the NFC, you still have Dallas, you have San Fran. Philly's going to be the interesting team, where I don't know what the Eagles are. Are they the team 2 years ago? Or are they the team this past year that quit? Philly is a team that's going to be confusing, but I mean, 50-1, that's a good number.
Yeah, I mean, assume they win the NFC South, which they're what, like even money favorites to do so now, then I'd be holding a 50-1 ticket on a team that's in the playoffs hosting at least one playoff game. Like, everyone would take that ticket if they could. So yep. That is how I've bet this whole Kirk Cousins saga.
Ian, you're the best. Where can everyone find you?
Yeah, on Twitter, X is the best place, Ian MacBets, IAIN MacBets. And you can read my work at fansided.com/betsided and check out the Bacon Bets podcast as well. Did release an episode this week going game by game through my bracket as well. So check that out.
All right, Ian, good to catch up. Hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Absolutely, man. Take care.
All right, that will do it. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back Friday. I might just do a solo pod after the Thursday games because the games end late Thursday. By the time it'd be hard to get a guest that late and get it edited and up. So maybe I'll just do a quick reaction pod Thursday to react to the games on Thursday and then preview the games on Friday, that kind of thing. So I'll have something up Friday. Look for that. Appreciate you guys listening. See you then.